Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this day, this Sunday, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you all for being here. I know this is a holiday weekend, and you could have been other places this morning, but you are here, and we give God thanks for that. This is Memorial Day weekend, of course, and just a reminder that we Christians have already celebrated our Memorial Day. We celebrated our Memorial Day on the first week of November, which is All Saints Day. That's the day when we lift up all of those saints who have gone before us, including those saints who made the ultimate sacrifice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have celebrated our Memorial Day already. And of course, every first Sunday we come together, it's another Memorial Day. On that day, we remember the great sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we remember his words, what he told us, do this in remembrance of me. And so we have celebrated our Memorial Day, but this is the day, the time of year, the weekend when our nation remembers those who have fallen. And so we give God thanks for this opportunity to be here, and glad that you are all here on this Memorial Day weekend to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please take the time to read your bulletin and also to go to our webpage so that you can stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our first scripture reading this morning is going to come from the book of Revelation. We'll be reading from chapter 21, verse 10, and then going down to 22, verses 1 through 5. So let us again listen to God's word for us this morning. And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall worship him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And night shall be no more. They need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 23 and reading through verse 29. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Jesus answered him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. But let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. One of the things I always appreciate about the Lord's disciples is that it takes them a little while to get things. All through the gospel narratives, they stumble and bumble, and just have a terrible, difficult time trying to follow Jesus. They often fail to comprehend the things that Jesus is trying to teach them. They go left when they should go right. They look up when they should look down. They demonstrate very little comprehension of what Jesus is trying to teach them. But Jesus is there with them at least. It makes a difference when somebody is in your midst, when somebody is bodily present with you. But now in chapter 14, it's before Good Friday. It's before Jesus will be crucified. And Jesus tells them that he is no longer going to be there bodily with them. He'll no longer be there to physically teach them. He's no longer going to be there to bail them out when they get into trouble. He's no longer going to be able to be physically present with them. And so I can imagine that they are becoming a little anxious, wondering how in the world they're going to be able to manage without Jesus being there with them. But that's what he tells them. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Even though I will not be with you physically, you won't be left alone. I'm sure we're all familiar with that movie, 1990s movie, Home Alone, where the little boy is inadvertently left behind by his family and who goes on vacation in Paris. And while alone, he's able, through his own creativity and ingenuity, to thwart the evil intentions of two burglars who try to burglarize his home. And sometimes I think that's how we feel as God's people, that we've been left alone to face the world by ourselves. We believe that this great enterprise that we've been entrusted with all depends upon us, all depends on our creativity, our ingenuity, our smarts, and our goodness. But we're reminded this morning that we are not alone. Even though Jesus is not bodily with us as he was with his earliest disciples, God has given us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to be present with us in the midst of our world. The Greek word that is used for the Spirit here is the word parakletos, and it can be interpreted in many ways, but it basically means someone who comes alongside of you, someone who comes alongside of you to help you in some ways. Think of all the people in your life who've come alongside you to help you in some way. It may be someone who has come alongside you to comfort you when you needed to be comforted. It may be someone who came alongside of you to advocate for you, to speak for you, to counsel you when you were in some kind of trouble. Or it may be someone who came alongside of you to teach you and to guide you at an important time of your life. Someone who came to instruct you and to give you guidance. And in fact, in our reading this morning, Jesus says that's what the Spirit comes to do, specifically the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus says, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I told you. Isn't that wonderful news? We are not alone in this great, big, mixed up, confusing world. That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ has come alongside of us to teach us everything we need to know in order to live faithfully as God's people. We're reminded that somebody has to teach us. Somebody has to instruct us. Someone has to guide us, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. I saw on social media the other day where one of those Ivy League universities that's been in the news lately is going to offer a free course online teaching people about the Constitution and about what it means to be a citizen in our democratic country. And I thought that if that's true, that's great. You know, we expect people to be good citizens without being taught. We just take it for granted that people know what it might mean to be a good citizen, but somebody's got to teach us. Somebody's got to teach us what it means to be a citizen. So I'm thankful that Harvard is stepping up. Maybe too little, too late, but at least they get an A for effort. But we're reminded that we all have to be taught, and we have to be taught what it means to be faithful people of God as well. William Willimon says that one of the big mistakes that we often make is to present the Christian faith as if it's common sense, as if it's natural, as if it's something that we can innately figure out on our own. It's something that we have deep down inside of us that we might figure out as we're hiking down the road or something, but it's not. It's not something that's natural. It's not common sense. It's not anything we can figure out on our own. We have to be taught. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside of us to teach us all we need to know to be faithful disciples. And there's always, of course, something that we need to know. There's always something we need to learn. I was listening to the radio this week, and they were interviewing a young woman, a young business entrepreneur, who had just started her business, and they asked her what was the most important thing that she had learned over the last several months, and she said the most important thing that she learned was that there was always more to learn. And that's true when it comes to the Holy Spirit, too. There's always something more to learn, something more that the Spirit wants to teach us. One of the surefire ways to close the Spirit down in our lives and to close the Spirit down in our communities is to assume that we have absolutely nothing more to learn. To assume that we already know it all, that we don't need to be taught anything because we've already got the particulars down pat. One of the things that we learn in the book of Acts is that the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to teach the early disciples something. After the Spirit falls upon them, the Spirit is guiding them and leading them and sending them where to go. And sometimes the disciples are reluctant to go because they think they already know it all. They think they already know what God wants, but the Spirit is leading them and guiding them. The Spirit says, go here. I want you to go over here and talk to that person over here. I want you to go over here and talk to that Ethiopian eunuch. That's what the Holy Spirit tells Philip, and Philip doesn't want to do it because he knows that the Ethiopian eunuch has already been excluded by God. He knows that in his heart. But the Holy Spirit says, I want to show you something. I want to teach you something about God's mercy and about God's grace. It's not just for Jews, but it's for everyone, even for that Ethiopian eunuch. So I want you to go and talk to him and bear witness to him. The Holy Spirit says the same thing to Peter. He says, Peter, I want you to go over here. I want you to go to the house of Cornelius. I want you to eat supper with Cornelius. And Peter already knows that Cornelius is a Gentile. And Peter doesn't want to do it because Cornelius is going to have all kinds of nasty things for dinner. And he doesn't want to do it, but the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go over here. I want you to visit with Cornelius, and I want you to eat with Cornelius. I want to show you something, Peter, about God's grace and mercy. And so Peter ends up learning something about God. That God is no respecter of persons, that God's mercy is wider than Peter had first assumed. The Spirit comes alongside of us not only to teach us, but it also comes alongside of us to remind us. To remind us of the things we already know or should already know. The Spirit comes to remind us of the words of the Lord himself. Jesus says, those who love me will keep my words. And it's the Spirit that both empowers us and reminds us of the words of Jesus. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is sometimes to remember the Lord's words? We sometimes fight over the Bible. We fight over the words in the Bible, but we don't always remember the Lord's words, Jesus's words. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we put the words of Jesus in the public places where people could be reminded of them? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we put the words of Jesus in courtrooms where we'd be reminded of Jesus's words of forgiveness and mercy? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had Jesus's words enshrined in the halls of power, in the halls of Congress, words about what Jesus tells us about the poor and the hungry. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we remember Jesus's words? But that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit empowers us and reminds us of the Lord's words. I remember years ago I went out and bought one of those red letter Bibles. One of those Bibles that have the words of Jesus printed in red so that I could kind of concentrate on the Lord's words. But even with that handy device, it's still difficult to remember what the Lord says sometimes. A few years ago, there was a couple, an immigrant couple, whose son was murdered, teenage son was murdered by other teenagers. You know, we blame a lot on immigrants and we make immigrants the scapegoat in our country of late, but usually immigrants are the ones who are the most vulnerable. They're the ones who are usually the objects of violence here. And this immigrant couple's son was violently killed. The teenagers, the boys who were responsible for it, were called and put on trial. And every day the parents of the boy who was killed sat in the courtroom, and they listened and they heard and they sat through the whole trial. And in the end the teenagers were convicted and found guilty. But then this immigrant couple got up and they asked the judge if the judge would remand the boys to their care. They wanted to take care of the boys who had murdered their son because they said that that's what they felt compelled to do as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I first read that, I said, what kind of crazy idea is that? Where did they get that lame brain, pink old woke notion to want to do that? Where did they get that idea? Well, they got it from Jesus. They got it from the words of Jesus. Those are Jesus's own words. And I'm sure it's the Holy Spirit that helped them to remember in that time of grief and tragedy and heartbreak what the words of the Lord was about. Sometimes I confess, the older I get, the more I need to be reminded of the Lord's words myself. Sometimes I find myself getting a little bit selfish, a little bit turned in on myself, and failure to be cognizant of the needs of others. And whenever that happens, the Holy Spirit prompts me and says, remember. Remember that that's not what we're about. Remember the words of Jesus. Remember the words about loving your neighbor and being concerned about your neighbor. Remember? Sometimes I find that I'm filled with a little bit of anger, maybe anger and a small touch of resentment and maybe even hatred for others. And I'm just obsessed with that, obsessed with how the world has taught me and prompted me to think. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, remember the words of the Lord. Remember, that's not the way we act. That's not the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of Jesus. Remember the words of the Lord. I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit falls upon us. I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. Grateful that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of me, because the Holy Spirit helps me to remember the words of Jesus. How readily I would forget the words of Jesus, I'm afraid, if the Holy Spirit was not there with me and with us. Sometimes I'm afraid that the church itself, that God's people all over, that we can easily forget the words of Jesus himself if it wasn't for the power of the Holy Spirit teaching us and reminding us of the Lord's own words and what it means to follow our Lord. We're reminded this morning that when the Spirit falls upon us, when the Spirit comes to be with us, to teach us, that one of the things that the Spirit brings us is peace. Isn't that what we want in the world today, peace? Isn't that what we long for? Peace, peace among nations, peace within nations, peace in our communities, in our families, peace within the very depths of our souls, peace. And when the Spirit comes, it brings peace. Not the kind of peace that the world offers, but the true, genuine peace. Often when we think of peace, we think of an absence of conflict or an absence of tension. But the peace that Jesus is talking about here in the text is not that kind of peace. After all, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's about to lead them, and he knows what's in store for them too. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy time for them. It never is. But Jesus says, peace I leave with you. I give you peace. It's the peace of the Holy Spirit, because it's the calm, confident peace that comes from knowing that in the midst of this world, we are not alone. God has not left us alone, but God has come alongside of us. He's come alongside of us to teach us and to remind us and to empower us and to help us to live as the people that God has called us to be. So this morning, I'm grateful for the Spirit. Grateful for the Spirit coming to be in our midst. I love that song we sung earlier, "Every Time I Feel the Spirit." Every time I feel the Spirit. It used to be one of my favorite songs at one of the churches that I first served with, right out of seminary. Every time I feel the Spirit. And isn't that what our world needs right now? To feel the Spirit, to see the Spirit in action, to see the Spirit in action in each and every one of us. And so I'm thankful for the Spirit of the living God falling on each and every one of us, and falling upon our congregation, and falling upon all of God's people. Because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we proclaim the good news to a world that definitely needs to hear and to see what God's coming future looks like. And so, friends, let us this morning remember who we are, that we're people of the Spirit. We're the people who has God's Spirit all over us. God's Spirit of healing, God's Spirit of life, God's Spirit of love. And that's what separates us from the rest of the world. We are people who remember the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the words to love one another and to love the world as Christ himself has loved the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us your Holy Spirit in the midst of this dark and confusing world. We're reminded that there are all kinds of other spirits operative in the world, and those spirits speak so powerfully in our midst. Spirits of greed, spirits of division, spirits of exclusion, spirits of hatred and resentment for others who are different, spirits that would have us pulling at each other's throats. But you have given us and revealed to us, your people, your Holy Spirit, your Spirit of life in the midst of us, teaching us and reminding us of who we are and who we are called to be. Lord, we ask that you continue to pour your Spirit afresh upon us so that we might have the power to show the rest of the world what it truly means to be your people, and what it truly means to be human in a world that readily dehumanizes all of us. Help us to be open to the movement of your Spirit in our midst as we seek to be your people. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the one who had your Spirit all over him. In his name we pray. Amen.